Let us turn this morning in the Scriptures to the book of Exodus, chapter 2. The book of Exodus this morning, it's chapter number 2. We'll read from verse 1 of the chapter. Exodus 2 and verse number 1. Exodus 2, reading from the first verse, we trust that you'll follow with us as we read God's truth together. And there went a man of the house of Levi, and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, and daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink, and the sisters stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew woman, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it, and the child grew. And she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." And it came to pass in those days, when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren, and looked on their burdens. And he spied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, 2 men of the Hebrews strove together. And he said to him that did the wrong, Wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, "Who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killedst the Egyptian?" And Moses feared and said, "Surely this thing is known." Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses, but Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Now the priest of Midian had 7 daughters, and they came and drew water and filled the troughs to water their father's flock. And the shepherds came and drove them away, but Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. And when they came to Reuel, their father, he said, "How is it that ye are come so soon today?" And they said, "An Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds, and also drew water enough for us, and watered the flock." And he said unto his daughters, "And where is he? Why is it that ye have left the man? Call him, that he may eat bread." And Moses was content to dwell with the man, and he gave Moses Zipporah his daughter, and she bare him a son, and he called his name Gershom, for he said, "I have been a stranger in a strange land." And it came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of their bondage. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. And we know the Lord will add his own divine blessing to the reading of his inspired truth, to all of our hearts for his own namesake. Hebrews chapter 11, the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11. Our brother Jim was just telling me there that a car has broken down, and it's just broken down right at the gate of our church. So just take care. There might be room to get out past it. I hope there is, or you'll be here for the afternoon. But I think they're going to try and get it shifted and get it moved. So just be careful if you're heading out that there's a car there that you don't crash into it, or maybe if you do crash into it, that'll get it moved, and you'll be able to get everybody else out. But just be careful on the way out. There's a car there that's broken down at the gate of her church. Hebrews 11 and verse number 24 through to verse 27. Looking today at the faith of Moses, continuing this series now, we're making our way through this chapter, looking at faith's hall of fame, the roll call of the heroes of the faith. And now we're considering the faith of Moses, and we'll be looking at Moses for a few weeks, and we're looking at verses 24 to verse 27. Very familiar words for some of us that know and love the Lord. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. We know the Lord will add his own blessing again to the shorter reading of his word to all of our hearts. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we again bless thee for thy truth. We thank thee for the living, inspired, eternal word of God. We bless thee, Father God, that the entrance of God's word, it brings life, and it brings light, and it brings liberty. And O God, we pray today that the good seed of God's word might be sown deep within good soil, Lord, that has been cultivated and broken up by the Spirit of God himself. May there be fruit, O God, from this meeting, fruit unto God and fruit in the lives of men and women and young people that are gathered here. Help us today to respond to the call of God for our lives as individuals, whatever the call of God would be. We bless thee, Father, that thou hast a plan for each and every believer. And, O God, we pray that every single one here today that professes the name of Jesus Christ, as we have been singing, might go through with God. Their vows to pay, they're all upon the altar lay. We confess today that the price is often high, and the test is often severe for those who would enjoy God's best. But enable us to surrender all and to take the road with those who will go through with God. Lord, I pray for the infilling and for the unction, anointing of thy Spirit. Hide me behind the cross. Let my name perish, but glorify the God-man Christ Jesus. And may our eyes be uplifted to behold him who so loved us that he shed his blood and gave his life for us. Hear us, we pray, in the Savior's name. Amen. I remember reading a verse of a hymn in a book many years ago. It said, "Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible. He can do what no other could do." This little verse, I believe, sums up the life of Moses. From his waking moments, from he was born into this world until the day that he died, a period of some 120 years, his life was a continual testimony to the power of a God who is almighty, a God who is sovereign, and a God who is able to do that which is impossible. Virtually all of the life of Moses was met by adversity, by difficult circumstances, whether it was his birth, his life in Egypt, his life in the desert, his journey through the wilderness. Moses continually had to prove the reality of a real, living experience of a God who is alive and a God who intervenes in the lives of his people. You can think of the childhood of Moses. We saw last Lord's Day how God had preserved him supernaturally, and that little ark of bulrushes, and then rather speedily raised him up to a place of prominence in the nation of Egypt and in the palace of Pharaoh. And then at the age of 40, Moses exchanged that life for a life of solitude in the backside of the desert. And so 40 years he was in the palace, and then 40 years in the backside of the desert. And during that 40-year period, God was training Moses, deprogramming Moses, getting Moses to change his whole thought process. And God began to mold and to make and to fashion Moses into that vessel unto honor that could be set apart and sanctified and filled and meet for the Master's use. Moses became a man who initially seemed to be a relatively proud man, into one of the meekest men that ever lived. We're told in Numbers 12 and verse 3 that above all men upon the face of the earth, Moses was marked by meekness, by humility. And that is one of the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. And Moses had to learn meekness before he would be used mightily of the Lord. It took God 40 years to make and to mold Moses in the desert. And then after that, the experience of the burning bush, and then 40 years leading the Israelites through the wilderness, proving the grace, the power, the presence, and the provision of Almighty God in a day-to-day experience. Now the question has to be asked, how did Moses live the life that he lived? And how did Moses accomplish the things that he accomplished? By human ability? No. By resolve and by steadfastness and by his own ability to make a decision that he would go through with God? No. By organization? No. By reading some book about self-help and how to rise above circumstances? By listening to motivational speeches? No. How did he do it? Well, the answer is seen several times in Hebrews 11, verse 24, by faith, Moses. Verse 27, by faith, he forsook Egypt. Verse 28, through faith, he kept the Passover. Verse 29, by faith, they passed through the Red Sea. By faith, through faith, and by faith. Faith is that which enabled Moses to live the life that he did. And faith is confidence in who God is and what God has said. And I want to say a few things this morning, very simple things about the faith of Moses. First of all, the confirmation of his faith. I believe there was a time in Moses' life whenever everything that Moses knew intellectually, everything that Moses knew in his head, and he knew it to be true, he had been brought up to believe the truth that his mother's knee, even before he was given over again the second time to Pharaoh's daughter, he learned a lot about God. But there was a time in his life whenever that faith became a reality, became a living faith in his heart. In other words, there was a time whenever his faith was confirmed to all onlookers that his God was real. You see, it says in verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years. Now, whenever Moses was a little boy, and after he'd been lifted out of that ark of bulrushes by Pharaoh's daughter, and then in the providence of God, given back into the hands of the mother that loved him, who feared not the commandment of the king, and you see how God turns things full circle. If she hadn't given Moses over to God, Moses would have been slain by Pharaoh. But God had it that not only would Moses be preserved and kept alive, but he would be put back into the home that he was born into, and his mother would even be paid wages from Pharaoh's palace to look after the child that belonged to her in the first place. And I'm not sure just how long Moses spent in that home as a little toddler, as a little infant. And I'm not sure how much faith Amram and Jochebed, the parents of Moses, saw in this little boy before they returned him to Pharaoh's daughter. And I'm not sure how much faith Pharaoh's daughter and Pharaoh himself saw in Moses, or how much faith Moses displayed in the palace of Pharaoh. It's evident that he knew that he was different. It's evident that he believed in the God of the Hebrew children. It's evident that he knew from his earliest days that his parents were Jews, Israelites, Hebrews, because there's a day came that whenever he saw a Hebrew and an Egyptian striving and fighting together, and he slew the Egyptian to save the Hebrew. He knew in his heart what he was. And maybe today you're a young person, and you're like Moses. You know that you've been brought up in a Christian home. You know the difference between right and wrong. You know that the Bible's true. You know in your mind that God is real. You know in your life that your parents perhaps love the Lord, and you know the difference between right and wrong. You know the truth. You believe the truth. But let me ask you, is your faith real? Has it been confirmed in you that this God that you've heard so much about, that maybe you don't deny or don't doubt, but have you proved that this God is real for you? You see, it was whenever Moses came to years that we begin to see the reality and the outworking of this man's faith. At the age of 40, something snapped and something broke in Moses' heart and in his life, and suddenly his life is turned right around. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I maybe speak to a parent this morning. You say, "Preacher, I've brought up my children under the sound of God's word. Not only did I send them to church, but I took them to church." There's a difference. We've had a family altar in our home. I've opened the scriptures with my children, and you know, they're going through teenage years now. They're into their 20s now. And you know, preacher, they're far from God. Is God going to keep his promise to me? Well, I'm sure Amram and Jochebed, as they looked at things, they could see Moses way there in Egypt, in the far country, living in the palace and seeming to like that kind of a lifestyle right up until the age of 39. Nothing was changing. But they proved the truth of that wonderful principle, Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. It was whenever Moses was 40 that his faith was outworked in his life and became a reality. The confirmation of his faith. Look as well at the cost of his faith. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Somebody once said that a faith that costs nothing is worth nothing. And true faith in God and faith in Jesus Christ, biblical, supernatural, saving faith, will always cost a believer something at somewhere in his life. Now you think about Moses. He never wanted for anything so long as he lived in that palace. He had got all the wealth of Egypt behind him. He had got the best education that the world could give. He had got fame and power and popularity. And probably he would have been in line, or certainly a candidate, to be the next Pharaoh in Egypt. And Pharaoh at that time was the most powerful man upon the face of God's earth. And yet Moses knew that if I'm going to live for this God that I now believe in, it's going to have to cost me all the potential of success and prosperity in Egypt. And by faith, he refused it all. You see, there was something more to the faith that Moses had than just a belief system. Just dotting his I's and stroking his T's and being able to quote creeds and say, "Well, I believe this, I believe that, I believe the other thing." Most people here today could do that. You could say this morning, "I believe in the inspiration of Scripture. I believe in the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that he lived. I believe that he suffered under Pilate. I believe that he was crucified. I believe that he rose again. I believe that he ascended into heaven. I believe that he's coming again. I believe in the necessity of the new birth. I believe in the work of the Holy Spirit to cultivate faith. I believe all these things." But let me ask you again, is your faith real? There was much more to the belief and the faith that Moses had than intellectual assent to certain truths and to certain doctrines. It caused him to act. It caused him to do something, and it caused him to be something, and it caused him to go through with God and to refuse everything that the world could give him in exchange for an experience of walking with God on the road that leads to heaven and leads to home. The hymn that we were singing says, "The price is high, severe the test. For those who would enjoy God's best, surrender all and take the road with those who will go through with God. Above thine own ambitions here, another voice is sounding clear. It is the call of God to thee to leave thine all and to follow me." And that's exactly what Moses did at the age of 40. He paid the price of faith, and his faith cost something, and he went through with God. You can read of virtually any person in Scripture that was used of God, and their faith cost them something. Caused them to be misunderstood, caused them to be misrepresented, caused them to be despised and to be hated, even by religious people, and to step out and maybe step into loneliness, but they proved God in it all. I can think of a man by the name of John Patton, who was a very gifted preacher who preached in the city of Glasgow and was an evangelist to the down and outs and won many people for Jesus Christ. But he heard about a group of islands in the Pacific Ocean, Vanuatu, or the New Hebrides. And he said, "I know that God is calling me to go to that unreached people group." And he probably knew that he would never be back if he went. People says, "Mr. Patton, you're crazy. If you go to that island with your wife and you have a family, there will be no prospects, no privileges, and you're giving up a perfectly good ministry in Glasgow where God is using you and you're seeing people saved and lives transformed, and if you go out there, you'll be eaten by cannibals." John Patton says, "Whether I'm eaten by cannibals or eaten by worms, it doesn't matter much to me," because he'd heard the call of God. And he went out to the New Hebrides. His wife by this time was heavily pregnant as they made their journey. She died just a few hours after the little boy was born, or the little girl, I think it maybe was. A few months later, that girl died as well. And here's a man that surrendered everything to go to a place to minister to people that were antagonistic against him. He labored for 7 years on one island and didn't see any people converted. People thought his life, he just squandered his gifts and his calling and his talents and his ability. But he went to another island by the name of Aniwa. And within a short time, virtually that whole island had come to faith in Jesus Christ. And John Patton lived a long and fruitful ministry, and you can go to those same islands today. And they set up the First Presbyterian Church, and there's many believers still in those islands after well over 100 years or 150 years after that man left the coast of Scotland to serve the Lord. The price was high, but he proved the reality of that verse. "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." Now, the challenge to you this morning and the challenge to me is, are we willing to pay the price to prove God's will in your life and in mine? Are you willing to pay the price? Are you willing to take up the cross? Are you willing, even in this church, to pay the price? Are we willing, as a group of believers in this community that desire to see God come down, are we willing to pay the price? You say, well, what price? What about prayer? What about fasting? What about time? What about reputation? What about witnessing? What about laying it all in the line and saying, from this moment on, I've come to years, I want my faith to be real, I'm putting it all on God's altar, and I want to prove the Lord. You see, folks, the reality is, any church is a sinking ship unless the people in that church want to go through with God. The choice of his faith. It says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He had to make a choice. Now, some of us Calvinists are afraid of that word choice, aren't we? But believers make choices continually. Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve. Who was he speaking to? Heathens? No. He was speaking to Israelites. He was speaking to God's people. And he called them to make a choice. And he says, this day I'm calling you to choose whom you will serve. Psalm 119 and verse number 30. The psalmist said, I have chosen the way of truth. The Lord Jesus said about Mary, who sat at his feet, Mary hath chosen that good part that shall not be taken from her. And then, of course, there was old carnal Lot who chose the cities of the plain. See, every day, folks, we make choices. You're making a choice right now. I choose to go through with God, or I choose my own life. I choose God's way, or I choose my own way. I choose to pray. I choose to witness. I choose to surrender my life. I choose to endeavor to be a person that's holy. I choose to follow after the leadings of God's Spirit. I make that choice today, or I choose just to go on in my own way and to have it my way and to not go through with God. The ungodly make decisions as well. Proverbs 1:29, God said they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Isaiah 65 and verse number 12, God says, I called, ye did not answer. When I spake, ye did not hear, but did evil before mine eyes and did choose that in which I delighted not. And of course, we can think about the crowd that stood that day, as Pilate said, concerning Christ or Barabbas, whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? And the crowd made that choice, and they chose Barabbas. We are called upon to make decisions. Moses asked the question, who is on the Lord's side? He said in Deuteronomy 30:19, choose life. I've set before you the way of life, the way of death, the way of blessing, the way of cursing. Therefore, choose life. Elijah said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, serve him, but if Baal, then serve him. He's calling them to make a choice. In John 6:66 and 67, from that time, many of the Lord's disciples walked no more with him. And the Lord turned to the 12 and says, will ye also go away? In other words, make a choice. Right now, are you going to go through with this? Or are you going to go the way of the world? You're making a choice right now. Moses chose to suffer affliction. To suffer affliction with the people of God. You know, if we think that the Christian life is a bed of roses, and you think that being a Christian is just a matter of praying a prayer and then sitting back and just going to heaven in a bed of roses, I would suggest to you that you've got the wrong religion. Christianity is not easy. Peter said in 1 Peter 4:16, if any man suffer as a Christian, the psalmist said, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Isaiah, God spoke to him and says, when thou passest through the waters, when thou passest through the fire, he didn't say this is going to be easy, Isaiah. He didn't say it's just going to be peace and joy and happiness. There's all those things, but there's going to be trials. There's going to be difficulties. It meant a cross for God's Son. It doesn't mean anything less for the believer. If any man will come after me, the Lord said, let him take up his cross and follow me. And Moses joined the people of God. Here's a man that was with the in crowd, and he left that to go and sit with the despised and downcast and downtrodden Hebrew people that were despised by the majority of people in Egypt. He joined God's people. He connected himself with them. And I like to see it whenever somebody says, I'm a Christian now, that they join the church crowd. They join God's people. They say, these people, they're my people. Like Saul of Tarsus, it said, whenever he was converted, he went and joined himself unto the disciples. And the word joined there, it literally means glued himself to the disciples. The people that once he hated and despised and persecuted, he says, these people, they're my people. And he joined himself to the disciples. Every Christian should be a member of a Bible preaching, gospel preaching church. Moses joined himself to the people of God. And it wasn't an easy path. You know, somebody said to me a while ago, you know, you set too high a standard. You set the bar too high. And I said, what do you mean? What standard? What bar? You see, folks, the reality is that I don't set any standards in this church. Some people might have a problem with that. They might say, we should have a little rule book and say, this is what you should do and this is what... And, you know, folks, I don't set any standards. I don't have a rule book. I just preach the Bible. What's God's standard? Be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord. And again, I would suggest, if you don't like it, Christianity is the wrong religion for you. Moses had faith to choose the right. He trusted God that God would lead him into the right place, that God would lead him to the right people, that God would provide for him. Do we trust God to do this? Young person today, do you trust God to choose for you the right partner in life? To choose for you the right place of employment? To choose for you the right life, the right lifestyle, the right journey? Warren Wiersbe said, true faith causes a believer to hold the right values and to make the right decisions. Look as well at the conviction of Moses' faith. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now, Moses did not deny that there are pleasures in sin. Doesn't really suggest the vices that we would often brand as being sinful, but just ambition. Just the desire to be at the top of the tree, at the top of the ladder. Just the desire to live for self. There was pleasure in that as far as Moses was concerned, but he had the foresight to realize that it was only for a season. And you know something about seasons? They come and go. They come and go. They come to an end. You say, well, I enjoy my sin. I'm sure you do. You'll enjoy it for a season, but you know something? That season will come to an end. You know, I used to work with men in engineering circles, and I used to look around and see young people my age, early 20s, and think, you know, everybody's enjoying themselves. We all enjoy going to the clubs. Everybody enjoys taking a drink. And then I'd look at men that were maybe in their 40s that had got married, and he doesn't enjoy the drink as much now as he did, but he still needs it. And the season of going out and being in the in crowd, that's gone. That season is over. But there's still the bondage and the addiction and the desire to have that freedom and that liberty, but it's only brought bondage. It's short-lived. Moses had the foresight to ask himself the question, this life that I'm leading, this way that I'm living, where's this all going to go? If I continue to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter and I pursue this path and I reject all the faith that I've been brought up to believe and the God that my parents love, where is this going to go? It's only going to last for a short season. And even if it lasts right throughout the course of my lifetime, I'm going to have to stand before God someday and give an account of the knowledge that I received at my mother's knee. He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the pleasures of Egypt. You know, these Old Testament saints, they knew a lot more about the Lord Jesus Christ than a lot of people give them credit for. Moses believed in Christ. He was looking to that day whenever the Messiah would come, as it was with Abraham. He had an interest in the person and work of Jesus Christ. So much so that he's willing to say goodbye to the old life and step out in faith and join himself with God's people. And he counted it a privilege. He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Just on Thursday morning, we were watching a DVD with the senior citizens. Made mention of William Tyndale, who was just a few hours away from going to the martyr's stake in England to be burned for translating the Bible into the vernacular, the language of the people. He was asked to sign a document and to recant, and he opened up his Bible, and with the hand that he would have signed that document with, he took his index finger and he held it over a candle until the skin and flesh burned right off and he was burned to the bone. And then he took that same finger and he pointed to a verse in the book of Isaiah, when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. And he was excited about going to the stake and being tied to that stake by his throat so that he couldn't speak. And with his last gasping breath, he prayed, open the King of England's eyes. And he lit a candle in England and throughout the West that by the grace of God to this day has never been put out. He esteemed the reproach of Christ to be great riches, greater than the riches of Egypt. And he knew that there was a reward for him as well, as did Moses. He had respect unto the recompense of the reward. God is no man's debtor. What about the consecration of his faith? By faith, it says in verse 27, he forsook Egypt. He wasn't kicked out of Egypt. There was a moment in his life where he willingly says, that's it. I'm finished with Egypt. The next time I come back to Egypt, it'll be as an evangelist, it'll be as a preacher, it'll be as a deliverer to bring God's people out of Egypt. But as far as everything that Egypt has to offer, it's over. I'm finished with it. I don't want to live this way anymore. He forsook it. There was willingness on his part. You see, his faith led to action. Faith in action. And if faith does not lead to action, if your belief, your faith in Jesus Christ does not lead you to lift a finger to do anything for God, it's probably not saving faith. Because faith without works, James says, is dead. Then he asks the question, can a faith like that save? If it can't save you in time and it doesn't change your life, don't think it'll save for all eternity. If your salvation does not save from the power of sin, it'll not save from the penalty of sin. His faith led to action. The question was asked by God's servant in 1 Chronicles 29:5, who then is willing this day to consecrate his service unto the Lord? That's what Moses did. He's consecrating his service unto the Lord. He's separating himself from Egypt, from the world, from worldliness, and from all its philosophies and principles, and separating himself unto the Lord. The cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back, no turning back. Notice as well the confidence of his faith. It says in verse number 27, not fearing the wrath of the king. He was confident. Oh, Pharaoh's a mighty man, but I serve the King of Kings. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I don't need to fear the wrath of the king, because my king is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know, it's just like the face that his mother had in verse 23. Says they were not afraid of the king's commandment. I'm sure Amram and Jochebed would have been delighted if they had lived to see this day whenever Moses was 40 years of age, that he just stood up and he marched out of the palace and the king was angry and the king was wroth and he didn't care. Because he had found something that the world could never give. And he lost something that the world had given them that he never wanted to receive again. Faith that overcomes fear. Real faith that brings confidence that we're in the will of God and God will provide for his own. You see, friend, if you're in the will of God, you've nothing to fear. If you're in the will of God, you do not need to fear the wrath of the king. Psalm 27 and verse number 3 says, though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. The war should rise up against me, and this will I be confident. What's he speaking about? One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of eternity. No, all the days of my life. I want to be in God's presence every day of my life. And therefore, in the light of this, David says, I don't need to fear whatever happens to me because I've purposed in my heart, I have chosen that I'm going to follow the Lord, I'm going to behold the beauty of the Lord, and I'm going to inquire in the temple of the Lord. Psalm 118 verse 6, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear, what can man do unto me? Martin Luther said, I'm immortal until the Lord calls me home. I'm immortal until the Lord calls me home. Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 2. Behold, the Lord God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song, and has also become my salvation. Do we have confidence today in God? We've considered the faith of Moses, the confirmation of that faith, the cost of that faith, the choice of that faith, the conviction of his faith, consecration, confidence. Lastly, will you notice with me, the continuation of his faith. It says in verse number 27, for he endured as seeing him that is invisible. He endured. I'm sure people said to Moses as he took his satchel and his belongings and he left Egypt, I'm sure people said, Moses, you'll be back. You go out into that desert, you're going to miss the fine banquets. You're going to miss the wine and the meat and the parties and the women and the prosperity. You'll be back. 80 years later, Moses was still walking with the Lord. Well, he came back 40 years later, didn't he? But it was to bring a crowd of people with him and to bring them out of Egypt into the promised land, into the place of blessing. I'm sure as he was in the desert, and I'm sure as he was in the wilderness, that there were times whenever the devil tempted him and said, Moses, look at your life. You're out here in the backside of the desert looking after a few dirty, dusty sheep. You've got nothing. Think about what you left behind. Wouldn't it be nice to sleep in that bed that you slept in? Wouldn't it be nice, Moses, just once to enjoy the parties and to enjoy all that you left behind and the food and the wine? Do you not think it was a foolish thing, a hasty thing to leave Egypt? Sure, you could have lived for God there. You could have had a testimony in the king's palace. But he had burned his bridges. There was no way back to Egypt. He would persevere in this faith for 80 years. You see, endurance and continuation is vital. The Lord Jesus in Matthew 24 spoke about the persecution that will befall the church in the last days. And he says, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. How did Moses do it? By faith. It says, as seeing him in verse 27, who is invisible. That's faith. The definition of faith, Hebrews 11 verse 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. He couldn't see God with the naked eye, but he could see God with the eye of faith. And throughout it all, he kept his eye upon the Lord. And that's what Paul exhorts us to do. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2, in the light of everything that has gone before, Paul says, wherefore, seeing we are also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, witnesses from the heavenly grandstand, this great roll call of faith, faith's hall of fame, we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, he says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. You see, a sight of Jesus Christ and a vision of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ will enable the child of God to persevere throughout all difficulties. Vance Havner said concerning the life of Moses, and with this I finish, Moses chose the imperishable. Moses saw the invisible. And Moses did the impossible. Moses chose the imperishable. I'm sure there was a time in Moses, he looked at this palace and said, someday this palace is going to be a pile of dust. All that I'm living for, it's perishable. Perishable goods. But he realized there's a reward in the glory that would never perish. Fadeth not away, and that's what he chose. He saw the invisible. He did the impossible. And the faith that Moses had is the faith that every believer in Jesus Christ can have by God's grace. We trust that you exercise that faith today and choose the right and go through with God.